Don't tell me what to do.
I wasn't on my phone for your podcast.
I was waiting.
Waiting for me to get on my phone during your podcast?
I was waiting. No, I was waiting for you to be ready for this.
Okay, we're done.
We never reached the 30 seconds. It's okay.
I just don't want to even begin.
Don't even tease
right.
that line.
So, that was gross. Hi, and welcome back to I'll Tell You What, a Spoopy Podcast. My name's Miranda.
And my name is Ashlyn.
Why'd you have to make it so grandiose? I didn't do that for yours. You're trying to steal with that. Stop scratching your hand.
Oh, sorry. Now you know what it sounds like.
Gosh.
I didn't even realize.
And this is a podcast that we share. If you're new here, welcome.
We co-host what we share the podcast.
I mean, shared. Co-hosting is sharing. It's a baby.
I'm very concerned.
Just learning to walk.
We're in our second season and we're losing our minds.
All right. So we just recorded Ashlyn's episode that went out on Tuesday. And this is my episode for Saturday. That's how things work here. We typically upload on Saturdays and Tuesdays. It used to be Saturdays and Sundays, but then we changed it because that was silly.
Because we were recording it Saturday night and I had to have it out by Sunday morning.
Yeah, and that was silly. So now it's Saturdays and Tuesdays. So it's Spoopy Saturdays and I'll Tell You Tuesdays.
Yeah.
It's a fun time.
Why are they getting this explanation right now?
Because if I realized, like, literally driving home today that we haven't explained that in a while.
Oh. Sorry, guys. Yeah.
We started this podcast because Ashlyn and I really wanted to start a podcast for a long time and we couldn't figure out what to do it over.
So we did it over our niche interests.
And so one day I was listening to a true crime and paranormal podcast, you know, that I enjoy. And I was like, you know what? We both like this weird macabre stuff too. Walked up to Ashlyn's bedroom and I went, hey, you still into conspiracy theories? And she goes, yeah. And I said, we're doing it. We're doing the podcast. Just like that.
Originally, it was just going to be us talking. So
yeah,
you actually get information now.
Yeah. I mean, sometimes we have riveting conversations, but also sometimes we have no idea what we want to talk about or we just annoy each other. So yeah. This gives us an outlet.
And allows us to edit out any tension.
Or leave it in. I leave in a lot of the parts where I tell you to shut up.
She's so mean to me.
Just kidding. No, in the last, in the Watcher episode where you kept talking over the Watcher parts. And I was like, Ashlyn, no. I'm trying to give an ambiance. You're ruining it. So I'm losing my mind. Besides that, let's just get right on into it, okay?
Heck yeah.
Oh, wait. Before we do, though, go ahead. Visit us on all of your favorite social media podcasting
apps
and all that. And give us a rate, a review, a like, a follow,
a comment,
all of those good things. None of the bad, personally.
Miranda would prefer it if you didn't, but like,
it hurts my feelings. No, I'm just kidding.
Any criticism,
just
message me, just say at Ashlyn instead.
Just give us some notes. And with that, hey, Ashlyn, I'll tell you what.
What do you tell me?
Unsolved disappearances in the Grand Canyon.
Do they know that they can check the bottom of the Grand Canyon?
Ah! Ashlyn, no!
Well, where do you think they go?
So, as I said on Ashlyn's episode, I don't know if she left it in or not. I intended for my episode to be mysterious, and then it ended up just being kind of sad. So, without further ado... in some recent news article, I saw that I saw on Facebook while I was scrolling. It was talking about a man who was reported missing who was last seen in the Grand Canyon. Mm-hmm. And when he turned, And then he turned up like a month later, just outside of the Grand Canyon, like right outside the Grand Canyon Park. I read the article originally and that was it. That's all they wrote. They're like, we don't know why or where he was or what
was
happening.
Okay,
and then
on.
I couldn't find the article to bring it, like, to actually see if any news had come up of it or anything since then. But
so
that was sticking in my head. Okay. It was sticking in my head.
Very
like,
sticky.
Why was that guy in the Grand Canyon for a month and like just popped up outside of it? Fine. He was fine. Apparently. And that's all I could find about it. He wanted
to win at hide and seek. That's all I'm saying.
But it got me thinking. Over the years, I've heard a lot of stories about people going into the Grand Canyon and never returning. You know? Some
spooky
things.
We've seen it before.
What?
We saw the Grand Canyon before.
We haven't seen someone disappear in it. Jeez.
No, I was saying like we've been to it.
Yes, we've been to the... So my question is there like a pseudo Bermuda Triangle effect here? Are people being transported somewhere unknown? Or are they maybe mesmerized within the beautiful natural sculptures and getting lost in the maze?
You've already heard my theory.
Let's get some background. At least once a year in America's 419 national parks and monuments, someone goes missing.
Yeah, that tracks.
At least once a year. According to the website NPS.gov, which is the National Parks website, the Grand Canyon is located in Arizona. It encompasses, well, the national park is located in Arizona.
Yes.
It encompasses 277 miles, 446 kilometers of the Colorado River and adjacent uplands. The park is home to much of the immense Grand Canyon, which is a mile deep and up to 18 miles wide. It has layered bands of colorful rock, revealing millions of years of geological history. The Grand Canyon is unmatched in the incomparable vistas it offers visitors from the rim. That's their words.
Honestly, it is really pretty, and it's kind of mesmerizing because you look out.
I don't like heights.
Well, and also like all of the land masses are just like at the same level.
Yeah,
but then there's a lot of space. Yeah, like
a canyon.
I know. It's cool to see, though. It really is.
So it was carved out by the Colorado River in Arizona. Mm-hmm. For thousands of years, the area has continuously been inhabited by Native Americans. They built settlements within the canyon and many of its caves. The Pueblo people considered the Grand Canyon a holy site, and they actually made pilgrimages to it.
Oh.
And the first European to have known to view the Grand Canyon was Garcia Lopez del De Cardenas from Spain, who arrived in 1540.
Oh, wow.
Yes. So between the mid-1800s and 2015, about 770 deaths have occurred. 53 resulted from falls.
Oof.
Well, okay. So the actual deaths we know starting at 2001. So since 2001 to 2015... 53 deaths resulted from falls. 65 were attributed to environmental causes, meaning things like heat stroke, cardiac arrest, dehydration, and hypothermia. Oh. 7 were caught in flash floods. 79 drowned in the Colorado River. 242 perished in airplane and helicopter crashes. And 25 died in freak errors and accidents, which would include lightning strikes and rock falls. Jeez. And 23 were victims of homicides.
The homicides one is a bit concerning.
Yeah. Well, now that we've got some background, let's hear some unsolved stories of people who disappeared in the Grand Canyon. Case number one. On March 31st, 2016, 22-year-old Diana... Ah! What is wrong with you? Josh just came out here in his sleep mask and he peeked around the corner all quiet-like. Weirdo. Starting over. Case number one. Oh my gosh. Case number one. On March 31st, 2016, 22-year-old Diana Zacharias from Louisiana arrived in Arizona to realize a dream of hers to visit the Grand Canyon.
Oh.
Diana Zacharias was a junior industrial engineering student at the Northwestern State University of Louisiana. Apparently, she had, like, all straight A's all throughout growing up, like, high school, college, everything. Won awards, a lot of stuff. Parents were extremely proud of her.
Yeah.
So, apparently, the trip seemed cursed from the very beginning, according to her father, when her plane broke down and she couldn't leave Louisiana. Her father, Alejandro Zacharias, knew his daughter was so excited for her trip that he drove her all the way to another town to a different airport so she could make it out there.
Aww.
Yes. Unfortunately, this was the last time Alejandro would see his daughter. Yeah, this one, I mean, it just ended up being sad. Once she arrived at her hotel in Flagstaff, Diana contacted her family by phone on Thursday, March 31st, mm-hmm. the same day she left. Diana planned to go to the Grand Canyon the very next day. Well, the first trip to the canyon during her vacation seemed to go off without a hitch. She updated her Facebook profile picture with one of her smiling in the Grand Canyon.
Aww.
She called her parents when her shuttle got back to the hotel that night. She told her family that she had about the tours she had taken and the places she had visited. And she also mentioned that she planned on going back out the next morning. Her mother did remind her that she had to be on time for her flight back home that evening at 5:30 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this is when we begin to lose track of Diana. According to her parents, Diana made two credit card transactions on Saturday, April 2nd. First, to pay for an Arizona shuttle ride to the Grand Canyon at 7:45 a.m. Mm-hmm. And the second, for a t-shirt at a park store. Well, so she had been in some form of communication with her family throughout part of the day because her father is quoted as saying, she made it to the Grand Canyon that Saturday. She took the time to take photos and video of it. She looked so beautiful. I felt so proud of my daughter. So she had clearly been sending them pictures or something.
Yeah.
However, when her mother texted her closer into the evening asking if she was on her way to the airport, she received an unsettling response from her daughter's phone. It read, "No, I'm not going," with no further explanation. Thinking their daughter had possibly changed her plans last minute and was planning to stay extra few mm-hmm. days or something, Diana's parents were frantically trying to get in contact with her to figure out what exactly was going on.
Yeah.
However, no response was ever given, and all of their calls went to voicemail. They waited all Saturday evening for a response, thinking maybe her phone had just died. And then Sunday rolled around, and they waited and waited and waited for contact. Well, when the evening finally came, they contacted the park to report the disappearance of their daughter to the authorities. That same evening, Mr. and Mrs. Zacharias embarked on a 20-hour drive from Louisiana to Arizona. Immediately yeah. after they arrived at in Flagstaff at mm-hmm. 5 p.m. Monday evening, like drove through mm-hmm. the night, didn't even sleep, they went to the airport that Diana was supposed to go to. Diana mm-hmm. had never signed in for her flight. Nor did she change her reservation. On Wednesday, April 3rd, Diana's parents, joined by park rangers, started an intense search and rescue operation by land and air. Her father said, quote, "We rented a helicopter. We placed pictures of her around. We screamed her name all week long."
Jeez.
According to a statement from the National Park Service, Zacharias had arrived at the... Diana Zacharias had arrived at the south rim to the... rim of the Grand Canyon on a bus that dropped her off at the Moswick Hotel. From there, she visited Yaki Point and Lookout Studio. The authorities also traced her phone and focused the search on the area where her cell signal was recorded for the last time. Unfortunately, with nothing else to go on, the search has basically stalled from there. Her parents are still searching and looking for clues that might one day reunite them with their daughter. Diana is about 5'2".
Mm-hmm.
She's slim and was last seen wearing a pink hat and purple sweater and glasses. If you have seen or heard any information about Diana's case, call Silent Witness at 928-638-7840. So that's all we know about Diana's case.
And when did that happen?
2016.
Jeez.
Mm-hmm. I still hold out hope that she's okay. Maybe she's just off living her dreams.
Yeah.
But her parents loved her so much. And they still love her.
I know. That's heartbreaking. And they want
so desperately just to know where she is or what happened.
Right.
Did you know that the National Park Service does not have a database of people who have disappeared in the Grand Canyon? Not a full one.
I mean, I can understand it according not being full, to, but like,
so,
geez.
So I read a quote. I didn't write the quote down. I read a quote from a spokesperson mm-hmm. that said, like, thousands of people visit the parks each year. How can you expect us to keep track of all that? And I was like,
maybe
that,
when
I don't
someone
like
reports
person.
It missing, you write it down in a little in a little spreadsheet or something.
I wasn't a huge fan of that spokesperson and their attitude. So, case number two.
It's a terrible spokesperson.
This is the most famous disappearance case from the Grand Canyon. And I came across it by accident.
And are you going to bum me out again?
Not as much. This one's a little more intriguing, especially because it happened so long ago that it's less sad and more intriguing, you know?
Okay.
All right. So this is the case of Glenn and Bessie Hyde. Glenn and Bessie Hyde were newlyweds who disappeared while attempting to run the rapids of the Colorado River through the Grand Canyon in Arizona in 1928. Glenn Hyde had some experience with river running, which river running is, because I had to look it up, it's a journey down a fast-flowing river in a small craft, normally like a rubber dinghy, canoe, or etc. Mm-hmm. Now usually for recreation. That's according to lexico.com.
Oh.
Bessie was a novice to the sport, but he introduced her to it.
Mm-hmm.
So in October of 1928, Hyde actually built his own boat. It was a 20-foot wooden sweep scow.
Mm.
Boat enthusiasts, tell me what that is, because I don't know. On October 20th, so later that month, 1928, the couple set off. The couple set off down the canyons of the Green and Colorado Rivers as a sort of honeymoon adventure trip. They were last seen on Saturday, November 18th, 1928. So almost a month after they started the trip, they were last seen. It was like a long trip. They were going down.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, understandable.
So they were last seen boating away downriver from downriver below Hermit Rapid. Hermit Rapid is located at mile 95.5, which perhaps is the which perhaps has the strongest hydraulics and biggest waves in the whole canyon.
Okay, so they made it past there.
They made it past there. Before they headed down the rapids, Glenn and Bessie had hiked Bright Angel Trail out of the canyon to resupply a few days earlier.
Mm-hmm.
At the south rim, they approached photographer Emery Kolb at his studio and home on the canyon rim, where they were photographed before returning down into the canyon. But that's the last anyone saw of them. On December 6th, 1928, Glenn's father, Roland Hyde, launched his own search when the couple was considered overdue.
Yeah, well, especially back then, you don't have phones, you don't have...
Yeah.
Like, a telegraph, maybe.
Well, and
but
once again, we had no idea when their journey was due to end.
No, exactly.
It was already November kind of thing.
Well, and back then, it's even harder to gauge that sort of timing than it would be now.
And their father lived in California, they're in Arizona.
Yeah.
You know, and so on December 19th, a search plane spotted their scow adrift around River Mile 237. It was upright and fully intact, with the supplies still strapped in it.
Huh.
So a camera recovered from the boat revealed the final photograph to have been taken near River Mile 165, probably around November 27th. The search uncovered evidence to indicate the couple made it as far as River Mile 226,
mm-hmm.
which was Diamond Creek, where it is believed they had made camp. Apparently, they also found Bessie's journal, where she noted that they had cleared Mile 231, Mile Rapid. And So the theory that most people go with, kind of thing, and the National Park Service kind of goes with, is one that historian Otis R. Mm-hmm. Marston made. He made a compelling case that the couple was most likely swept out of the boat when their scow hit submerged rocks in the heavy rapids near Mile 232, otherwise known as Killer Fang Falls.
Oof.
When describing the rapid, Marston noted that, quote, pieces of granite wall lie submerged where they have damaged, snared, and capsized more boats than any other location in the canyon. So that's all like the concrete information we have about the case.
Right.
And that's pretty, or that I found about the case, which is pretty interesting because it is like the most famous case. Like, well, if yeah, you go on page two or three of Google when searching disappearance, unsolved disappearances in Grand Canyon, it's all about them.
Well, and where did they find the journal?
I'm not really sure. They just found it somewhere. I don't know if they found it. I think it was with the supplies in the boat.
Oh, okay.
Or it could have been where they made camp, possibly. But I think it was with the supplies in the boat.
See, it makes me want to know more. Like, you know, what condition was the boat in? Like, I know it was intact and their stuff was, you know, tied down. But, like, was it beat up? Was there water in it?
Yeah.
Did any of the stuff have water damage?
Well, I mean, seeing as, I mean, it was an old camera and stuff, so, and
it probably did, but
who knows. So this case actually came with its own theories for us. So our first theory is an elderly woman who came on a commercial Grand Canyon rafting trip in 1971 announced to other rafters that she was in fact Bessie Hyde and that she had stabbed her abusive husband to death and escaped the canyon on her own. However, this was very unlike what was known of Glenn Hyde. He was known to be a very nice guy. And the woman later recanted this story.
Also, it was like 40 years after.
You know, I don't know. It said an elderly woman.
I get it, but like,
why come out now?
You got better things to do, ma'am.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying.
Our next theory is after the death of famed rafter Georgie Clark in May 1992, there was some speculation that she was really Bessie Hyde due to some documents and a pistol found in her effects after her death. I don't know what the pistol has to do with anything.
Maybe it was.
However, there was no conclusive evidence for such a link. It has never been found.
Oh, okay.
Not to mention the fact that Clark's early life was well documented.
So why the theory?
I'm not saying they're solid theories, okay? So our last theory for this one is, suspicion had turned to photographer Emery Kolb in 1976 when skeletal remains of a young male were found on the canyon rim with a bullet inside the skull. Because the remains were discovered on his property and he was one of the last persons known to have seen the couple alive, you know, people were a little skeptical. However, a later forensic investigation conducted by the University of Arizona concluded that the skeleton belonged to a man no older than 22 and who had died no earlier than 1972, ruling out the possibility that the remains were Glenn Hyde.
Yeah, but like, who killed the dude?
I was thinking that same exact thing. I was like,
I understand he might not have killed those two, but like, did he kill someone?
But like, who done it though? Yeah, I was like, but wait, what about more of that? But there was no more information. So, moving
on. Who was it? But he disappeared too.
Well, that's enough of the giggles, because this next part is a little bit more...
Great, thanks.
Sad.
I'm so thrilled.
Well, no, there's not... The thing is, these next few disappearances that I'm going to talk about, they don't have a lot of information about them. And so they're going to go a bit quicker. And I'm going to do them in chronological order.
And are you going to do them about their family life and how much their family misses them? And
no.
Okay, thank you.
No, that's what I'm saying. Like,
that
these
hurt
ones,
my soul. The
these
first
ones
one.
You don't know as much about. Like, we don't know like a lot about happened. These are just missing reported cases and stuff on NPS.gov. So these are in chronological order, starting from the earliest one. So on March 31st, 2011, 23-year-old Adam Clayton Lyle Jones was last seen by family in Gulf Breeze, Florida. His vehicle, however, was found in Grand Canyon National Park at the Grand Canyon Visitor Center at the South Rim on May 5th, 2011.
That's very far away
from Florida.
Florida.
So no one has seen or heard from him since. At the time, he was 5'7" tall. He weighed about 140 pounds. He's a white male with blue eyes and dark brown hair. And that is all we know about Mr. Adam Clayton Lyle Jones. The next one, our next case, it started on January 31st, 2015, when 21-year-old Drake Kramer was last seen at the Bright Angel Lodge driving a silver Mazda 6 sedan. Bright Angel Lodge is a hotel complex at the South Rim of the Grand Canyon. Once again, the South Rim. Drake apparently was believed to be suicidal. So his may have a sadder conclusion, but we're not so sure. At the time, he was described as a white male, 5'8" tall, 140 pounds, brown hair, blue eyes. He was also known to wear dark colored clothes and a backwards baseball cap or a dark colored bandana on his head. The search for Kramer is continuous but limited mode. Most of these are in continuous but limited mode. They're not going to just outright say we're not looking for this person, basically.
Right. But it's kind of really a cold case.
Yeah. So next, on June 2nd, 2015, so just a few months after, 22-year-old Morgan Heimer was last seen around the Colorado River Mile 213 near Pumpkin Springs. Pumpkin Springs is located between Little Bastard Rapid and Three Springs Rapid, and neither of these rapids are... I know they have...
Sorry.
and neither of these springs... these rapids are ranked very high on severity, according to the Grand Canyon Rapid list, which I found. But who knows what could have happened. Morgan was described at the time as a 6-foot-tall, 175-pound white male with blonde hair and blue eyes. He was last seen wearing dark-colored wearing a dark-colored astral personal flotation device and a blue plaid long-sleeve shirt. He had Chaco brand sandals, a maroon baseball cap, and brightly colored shorts. He was also carrying a purple water bottle. So I feel like those are very identifying factors.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very mysterious that he could have possibly disappeared with such vibrant clothing and stuff on, you know? With as many visitors as the parks get every single day, you would think that somebody would have seen him.
Well, like, even if he, you know, slipped into the river and, you know, drowned or something, you'd still kind of notice.
He was wearing a flotation device.
Well, but if that gets hit against a rock or something while it's carrying him downstream, it might not. But, you know, you might notice something in the water.
Yeah. It's just very strange. Once again, his case is also continuous but in limited mode.
Mm-hmm.
So on June 17th, 2016, the following year, 52-year-old Floyd E. Roberts III was last seen near Kelly Tank heading towards Canyon Trail, which is around 214-mile canyon or the Shanley Spring area towards the river. This place is massive. However, they thought he was heading towards Canyon Trail or the 214-mile canyon or Shanley Spring area. However, he may have descended into the 209-mile canyon instead. People are unsure. Roberts became separated from his companions during extreme heat conditions while starting a multi-day hike in a remote portion of the Western Grand Canyon on the Swivitz Plateau. The group planned a 9-day hike that would exit the canyon via the Separation Canyon. Unfortunately, following a intensive 6-day search effort, the incident remains unsolved.
Jeez.
The search for Roberts is continuous and in limited mode.
Mm-hmm.
Roberts was described at the time as a 5'11" tall male, 170 pounds, with brown/gray hair and brown eyes. He was last seen wearing a red long sleeve shirt, blue denim jeans, multicolored mesh Nike Free sneakers, large blue low alpine contour backpack, and white rimmed sunglasses with orange lenses. He was also carrying a day pack.
Sorry, the whole long sleeved shirt kind of threw me because the whole extreme heat conditions.
Yeah.
Although I do understand, like, if you're trying to stay out of the sun, maybe, but
it's kind of like in deserts and stuff, they actually wear more clothing than you would think.
Yeah, because they don't want to get like windburn or things like that. And
it's more protection, but it's also, oddly enough, sometimes the more you're covered, it actually helps because if you get sunburnt and stuff, it's worse than if you're just sweltering.
Well, yeah, because then you're more likely to get heat stroke with.
You can also get infection with a sunburn.
That's true. I've seen some bad sunburns in my day.
Our last case comes on September 17th, 2017, when 45-year-old Los Angeles, California resident John Yun Won's white Toyota Camry was found at Moron Point on the south rim of the Grand Canyon National Park.
Mm-hmm.
The vehicle had been previously seen New Hance Trailhead, and reportedly, Juan had no plans in the area, and his current whereabouts are unknown. He is considered a missing persons, and he is described as a 5'7", 121-pound Asian man with brown eyes and black hair. Now, that's all the information we have over him.
I feel like there should definitely be more on that one, especially because
it's so recent.
Yeah. Well, not only is it so recent, but also the extenuating circumstance on that one. Like, you know, if he didn't have any plans, it's possible like someone, you know, took his car and he went missing in a completely different area.
That's possible, too. Yeah. That's the thing.
Like, where do you even start to look for someone at that point?
Exactly. And that's actually kind of the case with a lot of national parks, missing persons, is they just kind of find their cars and go, wait, when did this person get here? And
or that car's been here for a couple months. That's a problem.
And they don't have, you know, the proper permits for an overnight stay. What are they doing here? Kind of thing. Yes. So after I've read all of these very depressing missing persons cases, if you have seen or heard from any of these men or know anything about their cases, please call 888-653-0009. It's very important to get any kind of information out about cases like these and such, even if it just helps close a case, you know, even if it just helps.
Or even if it just like rules out something,
you know, or puts somebody in or gives somebody a little more information of why they were there or who they were originally with or anything, you know, because you know that the one kid who was from Florida and then somehow ended up at the Grand Canyon,
or the last one too,
John Yun. Yeah, like how did he get there? Why was he there? Why was his car where it was? Maybe he was just going to see the sights for the day, just because. I mean, California's not super far from Arizona, is it?
No.
No, yeah.
Well, depending on where in California. California is a giant state.
Los Angeles, but...
Oh, yeah, then that's not too terribly
maybe
far.
Maybe he took a day trip, but, you
couple
know...
Days. Yeah.
But, you know...
There, too. I don't know. It's been a while since I've driven that.
You never know. And if you have information, please call the number. It's very important to get information on these cases and stuff out.
Absolutely. Well...
Yeah.
And the really sad,
I know, that's what I was saying. Like, it was meant to be a mysterious and kind of fun little episode, and it's just being kind of depressing.
Well, yeah, because the thing is also, if something happened to them in the canyon, there can be there's a very good possibility that you might never figure out what actually happened.
Yeah.
Like, even finding their body, because there's so much.
Oh, my goodness.
There.
Looking up these ones for the Grand Canyon. Oh my gosh, there's so many for the Yosemite.
Yeah, there's a lot of woods around there.
There's a lot of missing peoples in the Yosemite.
Well, and the thing is,
I know there's
a
lot of deaths in the Yosemite and the Grand Canyon. There's a lot of confirmed deaths. And I didn't want to get into the deaths because I was hoping it wouldn't be so sad. But honestly, at this point, it might have been more like, oh, okay, we at least know what happened to them.
Yeah.
Know? But Yosemite, oh my gosh, so many people go missing at the Yosemite.
Yeah.
Do not go hiking alone. If you veer off from your group, take a buddy.
Buddy system. Girl Scouts taught us a thing.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're a young woman, take at least 5 people with you.
Unfortunately. But that's the thing.
Also, Yosemite.
Don't go places alone. I know it can be kind of cathartic and beautiful to stare out at something like that alone and have a moment of peace. But don't like completely separate from your party. You know?
Yeah, I want to look something up real quick about Yosemite. Make sure that it is what I think it is.
It is a national park.
Yeah, so. But if I'm not mistaken...
I believe it is a very wooded area.
Yeah, and that can have a whole other load of complications, mainly in that...
Yeah, there's a lot of places to lose people.
There's waterfalls, there's...
Yeah.
Yeah, very wooded area, meaning that you can also...
There's also no, like overhead view if you want to get a plane out there. That's going to be much harder to see.
And also, like, bears.
Yeah, God,
and wild bears. Animals.
I never want to go to the Yosemite. Oh, my gosh. Or any place with bears, like actual bears. Where if they have a warning that says, oh, by the way, there might be bears here.
I'm not going.
I'm not going.
I've seen Grizzly Man.
I have not.
I'm not about this.
I have not.
Do not watch Grizzly Man.
I've heard true stories of people being... mauled by bears, children being mauled by bears. Yeah,
so the thing about
I don't want it.
Yeah, the thing about Grizzly Man is like it was this guy who was who loved bears. Like he was. You know,
is that the guy who went to like Antarctica and then got eaten by like a
his girlfriend? And
yes,
the only person
that.
Who saw the actual footage was Werner Herzog and like a couple other people. And then Werner Herzog was delete this now.
That's horrifying.
Yeah.
Yes, I definitely heard about that one.
Yeah.
I don't like. Bears.
I don't know.
I like this giant stuffed bear my boyfriend gave me for Valentine's
Day. What's
the
wildlife situation in
Well, I'm guessing there's coyotes and stuff like that, rattlesnakes, typical desert animals.
Yeah, I'm just thinking about like what would take care of
a body, basically.
Yeah.
Pretty much any kind of
animal
that does that would take care of at least the flesh portion.
Yeah.
That sounds horrible. But then, you know, coyotes and stuff drag off bones and move things. And that sounds horrible and macabre, but it's true.
Yeah. So you might not even be looking in the right spot.
Well, and it's such a massive place
mm-hmm.
that you might not know if you're looking at an animal bone or a human bone.
Right.
You know?
Well,
however, there have been cases where they found human remains. Lots of times they found human remains
in
like that one story. In the Grand Canyon National Park, and people don't know who these people are.
You know, I kind of like suburbia.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't want to go hiking in the Grand Canyon. I just wanted to stand on the edge once, and
yeah,
I
no,
did.
Yeah, no, looking out at it, it's pretty, but... I mean, I like hiking, but also
not
in,
that
like...
that kind of hiking. That's hot and
in extreme
and
conditions.
And dry.
Yeah.
Hot, sunny, and dry. That sounds horrible.
Yeah.
I like... the nature sanctuary down the street.
That's a good hike.
It's cute. It is wooded, but it's also only like max 2 miles, okay?
And also, it's near civilization.
It is very close to civilization. Like, they're going to find you.
They'll find you, and they'll probably find the person who got you if anything bad happens there.
Probably. That is true. So, also, just don't go by yourself, though.
Yeah.
Everyone, take a buddy. If you're a guy, take a buddy. Because like I said, the last five people I talked about were men.
Yeah.
You know, like you're not safe. Nobody's safe.
I was talking to a guy.
Take a buddy.
Once who wanted to go camping in Yosemite by himself.
What is, ew. You quickly stopped talking to him after that, right?
I mentioned.
You made the right decision, right?
Except I mentioned the petrified forest instead.
You're a nightmare.
I wasn't thinking about consequences.
But anyway, I mean, have you, on a lighthearted note, have you visited the Grand Canyon or know anybody who has? Well, you can email us about it at matterthanacaterpillar@gmail.com. You can also visit our Instagram where I might post a family portrait of us at the Grand Canyon where you can't see nothing but us, but we're there.
We're like 11.
And I'm going to blur out my poor cousin's face again because...
She didn't sign off on this.
And I personally don't want to ask her. But yeah, that's Instagram at Matter Than a Caterpillar.
Also, if you want to tweet anything at us, tweet at us. You know, your interesting, I don't know, any exciting stories from your national park visiting days.
Have you been attacked by a bear? That'd be frightening. Don't tell me that.
I hope you're okay.
If
you
have,
were.
But oh my gosh. Ooh, scary.
Yeah. Don't tell like us. That. But yeah, tell us. Go for it. You can tweet at us or slide into our DMs at Madder Than a Cat on Twitter.
Oh, yes. We also have a Facebook page at ITYW Podcast, or I'll tell you what with a period instead of an ellipses.
And we also have a TikTok at Madder Than a Caterpillar. And we will probably be posting more videos soon. Yay. It'll be fun for the whole family.
And with maybe that, I'll leave you with this. Tell your mom.
Tell your dad.
Tell your friends.
Tell the FBI agent listening through your phone.
And tell that missing hiker who's in your closet. And good night.
It got really morbid there for a second.
See, I didn't think it was that morbid, but okay.
No, my mind just jumped to the
skeleton. They're alive, Ashlyn. They're alive.
Yes, yes. Okay, I like that.
You're
good.
A nightmare.
I really am.